Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3!
Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, we're here to empower you. That's what we're going to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I got a great show. We are going to be talking about kidneys for cash. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that topic's back. Want to sell some organs for some money? You know, we covered it, I think, in the spring, early spring, February, maybe March. Well, we're going to talk about some new developments in that. Also, we're going to talk about some drugs that may be giving your loved ones dementia. We're going to talk about all that stuff and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm praying for America. I am hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are, too. And I did bring my devotional today, and today's devotional is from Psalm 63, Isaiah 40, and Psalms 139. It goes like this. I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus, in response to whatever happens to you. If there is time, think about who I am in all my power and all my glory. Ponder also the depth and breadth of my love for you. This simple practice will help you to see me in every situation, acknowledging my sovereign control over the entire universe. And when you view these events from this perspective, through the light of my universal presence, fear loses its grip on you. Adverse circumstances become growth opportunities when you affirm your trust in me no matter what. You receive blessings gratefully, realizing they flow directly from my hand, and you continually assert that trusting in me will strengthen your relationship and keep you close to me. Hey, there's no safer place to be close to the Lord. Amen to that. So mind time, seek Lord's face, find salvation through Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, the Swedish, they experimented with a six-hour workday. How do you think that worked out? That's right. The Swedes were looking forward to that six-hour workday, but they got some bad news. Cost outweighed the benefits. Yep, two-year experiment, cutting working hours while maintaining pay levels, especially for nurses in old people's homes in a Swedish city of Gothenburg. Well, it's nearing an end now. They said it helped the nurses. They went home feeling healthier, and it reduced their sick leave, and patient care improved. But it just isn't sustainable. Getting paid for eight, but work six. See, that doesn't work. Moving along in the quack report. The vaccine court is in the news in the United States. U.S. court has concluded that vaccines probably cause serious and permanent damage to children. Probably. Well, the latest ruling is a 13-year-old boy who was made a paraplegic after he got the chicken vaccine. After 5 years of his parents and attorneys battling the vaccine court, which is run by the Human Health Services, the evidence was so overwhelming and irrefutable that the Health and Human Services Department had no choice but to declare, yep, the boy's injuries were directly caused solely by the vaccine. Now, sadly, this child, this 13-year-old, will suffer with his symptoms all his life. He'll have lifelong effects, which can include pain, stiffness, painful muscles, spasms, partial, even total paralysis of his limbs, sexual dysfunction, and also commonly with all this is depression and anxiety and stress from all the chronic pain. So chickenpox vaccine is 10 times the potency of the chickenpox, the virus itself. And why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that? All right, moving along in the quack report, Israeli company successfully has transplanted lab-grown bones into humans. That's right. Millions of people, they say, break their bones. Every year, they wind up with sometimes life-changing chronic injuries, especially when the bones are not repairable and they can't replace them very easily. So we are on the cusp of new technology, we're told, by the Israelis who developed a way to grow bones in a lab and then transplant them into humans. This biotech firm is called Bonus Bio Group, soon to offer lab-grown semi-liquid bone grafts. They're testing them now. What they do is they inject the material into the bone. Let's say it's your jawbone, and it repairs the bone. And right now, all this is in early stages of clinical trials. The materials that they use from growing it in the lab is really the patient's own fat cells, and they inject that into the problematic area of the bone, and that fills the bone up with the liquid. And over the course of a few months, the substance hardens and it merges with the existing bone to create a patch or repair. So liquid bones coming your way. Last but not least in the quack report, Baltimore made the list, top list of Orkin's bed bugs. Mm-hmm. Yep. For the last decade, Orkin has been releasing the bed bug Bedbug City Rankings list. And Chicago held the top ranking for 4 straight years in a row. But now Baltimore has moved up 9 spots and is number 1. So other regions of the country that have out-of-control bedbugs are Las Vegas, Portland, Oregon, Salt Lake City, Utah, Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem area in North Carolina. So the top 10 this year from Orkin is Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Chicago, New York, Columbus, Ohio, Los Angeles, Detroit, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose areas. Those are the top 10. But Vegas, Portland, Salt Lake City, and Greensboro, High Point, they moved up in the rankings this year. So bed bugs, you know, just be careful if you're traveling. And that wraps the Quack Report. Great. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this recurring issue that keeps kind of cropping up from time to time about organ transplants and the lack of organs to transplant with. So this segment's called Kidneys for Cash, and there's this increasing talk about a market where people could sell their healthy organs possibly to the highest bidder. So in March 2016, the Journal of the American Medical Association published some research on the possibility of compensating organ donors. So the study was specifically looking for options for the most popular organ transplant in the U.S., which is the kidney transplant, number one transplant being done because so many people have renal failure. So the number one kidney transplant has risen from 5,000 done in 2004 per year to over 7,600 per year in 2013. So medical science also is reporting that organ donations are down by 14% compared to a decade ago. So could we see, you know, medicine maybe lobby the politicians to make significant changes to the laws that oversee organ donations? Well, we're going to check it out and see what's going on. Because apparently, in medicine, ethics are not eternal. In scientific medicine, we are being a witness to the fact that ethics are not going to be eternal. So an argument that is for paying for organs for transplantation is that, you know, the quality of the organ would be healthier. That's an argument for, you know, selling your organs for cash. Now, the flip side is the argument that people could be coerced or tricked into sacrificing an organ. And there are many, you know, angles for undue influence, which could come into play when the stakes are this high. So organ transplant surgery is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And selling organs can increase the number of transplant surgeries and, you know, would net the medical industry a ton of money. So currently there are strict laws on organ donation and harvesting of the organs to prevent medicine from opening an organ commodity market, if you will. Now, some physicians like Dr. Marco Del Charo of the University Hospital of Stockholm, Sweden, states that the political climate and the regulations need to catch up with the public perception regarding selling body parts for compensation. So this doctor and some others, you may ask, well, you know, is there a real difference in abortion mills selling body parts and private citizens selling body parts? Well, I think there is. I would think there's a huge difference when someone is accidentally killed and donates organs compared to those who are murdered and their body parts sold for profit. And there is also a difference in healthy people selling parts of their body for cash. So it's a scary thought that some physicians hold the position that everyone should be an automatic organ donor. Now, this is new. I mean, I was like shocked. Okay, so this is Dr. Christine Tovis, trauma surgeon at she's for the Medical and Dental Association. She says this: There is a huge need for organ donation and transplantation. Methods exist to increase the donation rate, such as people are automatically an organ donor unless they opt out or say no. Organ donors who are identified on their driver's license should be held as a, quote, advance directive, which overrides family consent. And the presupposition of transplantation says that if a patient needs an organ, they should get an organ, and those who have organs should provide them. This would repackage organ donation from altruistic to obligation. End of quote. I was like astonished at that. I was just like, my mouth, big hole, gaping up, on the floor jaw, you know? I was like, what? But she's not the only one that kind of is thinking along those lines. This is Jeffrey Campson. He's a surgical a director, and he's at the medical and the Kidney Pancreas Transplant Center, University of Utah Hospital, and he says this: a survey by the Journal of the American Medical Association stated that if we were to give you $10,000 for your kidney, would you be interested? And he said most people said no, but when offered $50,000, their interest went up. So the fact is, people die on the wait list, and this compensation is all about increasing the organ pool. End of quote. Well, what about the costs? You know, it all sounds good and dandy, you know, saving lives, you know, get paid for an organ. You got two of them, so why not sell one? You're healthy and well. You probably be fine. Well, what about some of these other costs? You know, Dr. Tovis stated the new laws should compel the public to cough up a kidney or another organ during their lifetime and override the wishes of family members with regard to organ donations. So the doctor fails to mention some of the technical costs involved with such lawmaking. So Dr. Tovis would levy on a family of a deceased person the harvesting procurement cost of an organ ranging from $65,000 to $130,000, and you wouldn't have any say in the matter, right? So thereby, scientific medicine would get paid by the donor's family and also get paid by the transplant recipient, because an average cost of a kidney transplant is $270,000, and that doesn't even include the harvesting procurement phase of it, you know, taking it from somebody who's donating. And then there's the donor race issue. Now, this was quite shocking. I was just like, whoa, this could go sideways in a skinny minute. Let me see what you think. There was this article in Science Daily that reviewed statistical evidence that there is a race of people with organs which offer a lower risk of rejection. Should I repeat that? There's evidence that there is a race of people with organs which offer a lower risk of rejection. Man, does that not put a bullseye on those people or what? Right? A study from the Henry Ford Hospital Transplant Institute offered some stunning information on the rates at which organs are rejected by the body after they're transplanted. So Dr. Rahul Pandey was a lead researcher on the study, and she showed that there is a disparity on patient survival, which seems to stem from a race factor. So they found that kidneys from Black donors offered a lower survival rate compared to kidneys from other races. Now, some complications also affect the survival rate, like, you know, such as hepatitis C infection from either the recipient or the donor. But the statistical information analyzed came from this large national database called the United Network of Organ Sharing. And Dr. Pandey also said further analysis needs to be done to also factor in, you know, the variables that affect outcomes like, you know, socioeconomic status, length of dialysis, health of the immune system, suppression protocols, et cetera. So Dr. Pandey also, she said, She did find there was an earlier study that also looked at race and the effect of survival rates. And she said that the study mentioned the donors of race affected the graft failure and the graft failure rate, and that the non-black recipients with black donor kidneys had a higher failure rate. So Dr. Pandey states that 12% of kidney donors in the United States are from African American descent. So why is this information significant? Well, the suggested evidence is stating that kidneys from black donors have a higher risk of transplant failure, and therefore, if medicine wants to build a registry of organ donors, it will be from what medicine decides to be the, quote, donor race. So if medicine is bent on increasing that donor pool, and if organ donation becomes mandatory, well, what would that mean? It means that non-black race, those people are going to be the donor race. Think about it. Well, let's look at the organ marketplace for sec. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health, there is a human organ trade going on, and it's not the black market. There are countries which, you know, have legalized selling organs for compensation, and they are actually marketing travel to their countries, not just as tourism, but as, quote, health transplant tourism. I'm not kidding. So the countries currently doing this are Turkey, Iran, Russia, and South Africa. So if you're tired of being on that waiting list, people are just, you know, getting a plane ticket, basically. So if you ask health and political officials why these countries decided to legalize the sale of human organs, they state, quote, the lack of donors and the rise in transplant need have forced regulatory change, end of quote. Now, the European Union has tried to implement what is called a Europe-wide donor card to help standardize the organ donor industry. And the countries which perform the most transplants are the United States and China, but both have strict regulations on organ donation, where it's still illegal to sell organs. So the ethics of all this is kind of a contentious issue. And some argue that if it is legal to sell blood plasma, your hair, sperm, human eggs called ova, feces, bone marrow, breast milk, and even to rent a womb for surrogate births, then why not sell organs too? Well, the World Health Organization strongly opposes compensation for organ donation. And the World Health Organization feels that such a commercial enterprise would be corrupted, and favoritism of the rich would exploit and preclude the poor from getting a transplant. So here's a quote from the WHO, January 2008. They said this: the role of commercial transplantation surgeons has been described in the British Medical Journal as, quote, rotten jobs, which consist of harming a poor person and saving a rich one, end of quote. Ooh, snap. Well, the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institutes of Health conclude that pressure to legalize organ compensation will continue with the increasing demand for organs. So it is, a supply and demand issue, and medicine wants to exploit that. So there have been discussions for alternative human organs, like, you know, the ones grown in the lab, the artificial organs, the ones that are grown with, you know, animal DNA and that kind of thing. Actually, those may become a legal alternative before the marketplace to sell human organs materializes. But one thing is for certain: the prohibition of some sources of human organs is going to be in the mix, you know, that donor race issue. So when legalization does come to the United States, it is anticipated that there's going to be extremely tight regulations. So if the government puts a ceiling on how much money a person can sell, let's say, a kidney for, and the financial incentive is too low, well, there will not be much interest you know, and grow in that organ pool. So the choices will be to increase the compensation or mandate donation suggested by Dr. Tovis. Now, the government has mandated tax liability health insurance, so with the wrong people in power, that could become a reality. Just cringe to think of that. I don't like it at all. Not at all. Well, you know, drugs that destroy the kidneys, I want you to be aware of this, so you don't have to get on that list. For example, our kidneys very sensitive to sugar and alcohol, so watch that. Also, some prescription medicines that can destroy your kidneys are your antibiotics like vancomycin and Cipro, analgesics, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, aspirin, pain medications, prescribed laxatives, heartburn medications, blood pressure drugs, arthritis drugs, bipolar disorder drugs, anticonvulsants. Also, the dyes they use in medical tests like MRI, CT scans, and other contrast dye imaging tests can hurt your kidneys, as well as chemotherapy drugs. And, of course, your illegal drugs like heroin and methamphetamine, not going to do your kidneys any favor. So basically, there's a reason God has provided us with medicinal herbs, and many of them help us to keep our organs clean and healthy. Now, the medicinal herbs can help us avoid prescribed medications and organ failure. So for a majority of the cases, lifestyle is the reason for disease, along with the prescription drugs for those diseases, and then the organs begin to fail. So the list of drugs that lead to kidney failure are a majority of the medications dispensed in the U.S. So no wonder the wait list for kidney transplant is so long. We're destroying our kidneys with bad diets and medications at a pace that the transplant replacement market can't keep up. So the solution is not to legalize the sale of organs or to mandate everyone donate organs for transplantation. The solution is to clean up the lifestyle and use herbs to clean and soothe the organs. So I personally wouldn't wait until kidney conditions are chronic to take action. So, you know, don't wait that long. So medicinal herbs can be used every few months to help protect you from a lot of these organ failures. So if you want more information, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask about their herbal cleansing products. Now, if it's your kidneys you're worried about, well, ask about the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit. So if more people become aware and proactive about the health of their organs, there would be little to no need for transplants, right? Unless, of course, it's congenital. There's an exception. But call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. Or visit them on the web at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Free product catalog if you want to get one. Also, money-saving coupons on their website. And if you don't do the internet, just make sure you ask about those coupons if you're calling in to order product. Thepowerherbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Well, I can see by the clock we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to cover more empowering health information that you're not going to get anywhere else. Right, Frank? Be right back.
I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. five concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about dementia here a little bit. You may have a family member or a neighbor or somebody that you know that's suffering with dementia. And, you know, we've been told that the United States kind of has an epidemic of dementia. And what constitutes an epidemic, though? Well, apparently 5 million Americans are have dementia, and this is a kind of accurate, but it's an outrageous percentage, to say the least. A lot of people just not functioning. Modern medicine is saying that a life expectancy is much better and higher for Americans now. They're living longer, but they're not living quality lives. So what good is living longer if you don't have your cognitive functions? And what could be causing this, and is it preventable? Let's check it out. Let's define dementia, first of all. According to InsideDementia.com, the word dementia is a term used to describe a broad category of diseases due to nerve cell malfunction. Apparently, there are like 100 different forms of dementia, and this includes, you know, your Parkinson's, your vascular dementia from stroke, Alzheimer's, and all these mixed dementias, diseases, and 45% of the cases are a combination of nervous system diseases. It could be like Alzheimer's with another type of dementia, for instance. So when our brain nerve cells begin to die or malfunction, there are changes in our memory, our behavior, and our ability to concentrate, and even our capability to learn new things. So if the damage continues, it's severe enough, brain nerve cell death can affect the individual's ability to carry out basic bodily functions like grooming, walking, or even swallowing. Now, prion disease, the mad cow stuff, may also fall into this category, and we're told that Alzheimer's disease is the most common diagnosis in about 80% of the cases. So the term dementia is kind of Latin, and it began to be used around 50 BC. It means being out of one's mind. Well, let's look at statistics for a minute. About 40% of the dementia cases are happening to people under the age of 65. So a majority of these cases, regardless of age, are happening to females. So why do women have a 10 to 20% greater risk of dementia over the men? We're also told that 1 in 11 people over 65 are going to have some form of dementia, and modern medicine expects it. So if you are a female over the age of 65, the statistics, they change from 1 to 6. And according to InsideDementia.com, we had 35 million Americans with dementia in 2010, and they expect to have 65 million by the year 2030. And by 2050, 115 million. So what could be driving these outrageously high projections? I mean, that's just offending me right there. And it just shocks me. And there's got to be something that has to be done about this. The University of Michigan also states that all forms of dementia on the rise. Well, let's look at it. We're told by health authorities that 1 in 3 Americans over 65 are going to die from dementia. Apparently, dementia is the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S. It's also a category of disease medicine has no effective treatment for. All medicine can do is slow down the symptoms and the development of the disease in its progress. So just, you know, still going to happen. Well, let's look at the map. According to Alzheimer's Association, they have a map. They have projected the rates of dementia in the United States through 2025, and they're on their map. It shows that a higher majority of these cases, like 82 to 127% of them, are going to occur in the northwest states of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado. Now, the second worst area on the U.S. map, where 50 to 81% of the dementia cases are to occur, they say, is the Southwest, the South Central, and the Southeast parts of the U.S. So the Central Interior and the Northeast seem to be below the 25% percentile in occurrence of dementia cases. Now, what's that about, right? Well, what's medicine say about it? Well, modern medicine says they expect most people, as they get older, to develop some form of dementia. It's natural. No, it's not. It's common, but it's not natural to lose your mind. They also equate the disease with old age. However, they also cite that other causes like genetics and head injury, heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, obesity, smoking, and surprisingly low education could give you dementia, they said. Well, according to scientific medicine, if you are someone that has a low level of education, you are also someone with a lower brain development, they say. And that's the first time I've actually heard a brain dysfunction can be due to a lack of higher learning, you know. But we see stuff all the time that really shocks us. And we are also told that there really is no significant test that can conclusively determine if someone has Alzheimer's. And you're going to say, what? So how do they get a diagnosis? If there's no test that can conclusively say, yep, you have diagnosis. So what is it, a suspicion of diagnosis of Alzheimer's? Well, at best, physicians can only state probable Alzheimer's disease on the patient's medical record. They typically do not progress or process the elimination. The elimination, depression, trauma, infection, thyroid dysfunction, a process of elimination, and usually they come up with, you know, possible Alzheimer's. So that's how you get into that dementia category on your medical record. It's a process of elimination. Well, and there's some other problems that can hitchhike along with dementia issues. So let's say you get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. There are other health problems that tend to come along with the prognosis there. It's going to crop up. You're going to have vision problems, sleep problems. Usually people have sleep apnea. And also insulin issues. Patients with diabetes and sleep apnea, they say, have a greater risk of Alzheimer's, according to medical science. Well, and let's look at where all taxpayer money's going with regards to this area. Americans are paying for Alzheimer's research to the tune of $580 million through the National Institutes of Health. To give you a comparison, the taxpayer money going to cancer research is $6 billion and $4 billion to heart research. So why $580 to a condition they don't have any conclusive tests to determine that's what it really is? Does this make sense to you? Well, what they typically come up with is, in the halls of science, are we're going to have these new treatments and we're going to treat the symptoms of your disease, but not really cure you. So that's basically it. So what are some of the possible causes that could be going on here? There are a lot of explanations why people appear senile or have dementia. We should be careful to evaluate all the possibilities, and some of them could be right under our noses. So we can't really rely on healthcare professionals to admit that the prescription meds that people are taking could be the culprit. And a vast majority of dementia is happening today could be due to drugs. So in some cases, medications are now available as over-the-counter and no prescriptions needed. So the next question is, does medicine already know that these certain medicines can create damage to the brain and produce dementia? Well, the answer is yes, they do. Here's a quote from Noel Campbell. He's a pharmacist. He says this: we found that taking one anticholinergic drug significantly increased the risk of developing cognitive impairment. Taking two of these types of drug doubles the risk, and this is very significant and already is known to medicine and is a risk to the American population. So we're going to get into the list of these types of drugs in a minute. So in the vast majority of cases, your drugs, like your pain medications, are causing what is called long-term damage to the brain. Other products also causing similar damage are the insomnia drugs, your cardiovascular drugs, your allergy medications, and drugs for incontinence. Okay, and these would all be in a class of drugs known as anticholinergic drugs. And they tend to block the acetylcholine, which is a brain neurotransmitter. Yep. So these drugs are causing dementia. Like the statin drugs, people have memory, short-term memory. Oh, you're going to have dementia long-term. We stay on that. Well, let's look at some of the common drugs. Here's a list of the drugs Americans are taking fairly regularly, which is destroying their brain cells. Benadryl for allergy symptoms, Dramamine for motion sickness, Excedrin PM, Nitol sleep aid, Somnex sleep medicine, Tylenol PM sleep medicine, Unisom sleep medicine, Paxil for depression, obsessive compulsive disorders, Detrol, it's an over-the-counter bladder urgency medicine, Demerol for pain and sleep, and of course Paxil, another depression anxiety drug. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, though. There's lots of drugs for instance, anti-arrhythmia drugs, antihistamines, antispasmodic drugs, anti-Parkinson's medications, muscle relaxants, tricyclic drugs for antidepressants. These all go on the list, too. So there's hundreds of these drugs, right? So let's look at some of the side effects of these anticholinergic drugs in this broad category that offer cognitive impairment and could lead you down the road to dementia. Side effects would be dry mouth and nose, lack of sweat, constipation, dizziness, drowsiness, unsteady on your feet, headache, difficulty urinating, visual impairment and glaucoma, disorientation, difficulty swallowing, delirium, fatigue, high blood pressure, breathing difficulties, convulsions, behavior changes, hallucinations, severe muscle weakness, skin problems, and slurred speech. So based on the Alzheimer's Association and their MAP and the drug-induced factor for dementia, we could probably conclude that certain areas of the country may be more disposed to depression and taking a lot of these types of drugs. Other areas may be more disposed to severe allergies, and the people are on those drugs and destroying their brain cells, causing cognitive problems. And we can also ascertain that people with sleep, vision, and heart and insulin problems are on the medications that are also promoting their cognitive decline. And women also seem to be more prone to the anxiety, thus taking those medications to promote dementia and then pumping up their risk of dementia. Wow. Well, is there a natural antidote to all this? Well, research has suggested that regular exercise can be a big factor in protecting us from dementia-type diseases. So the type of exercise was really not as important to the research team, just that the physical movement helps prevent brain shrinkage to prevent cognitive function from declining. So one example was walking for 40 minutes per day, and the researchers also mentioned that exercise helps the brain basically to do multifunctional activities and reduces stress and anxiety, which reduces the likelihood that you need the drugs you're taking that can give you the dementia in the first place. So there's natural solutions for everyday problems, and there are plenty of nutritional solutions to help you sleep better, improve your vision, reduce your need for the diabetic drugs and heart drugs and anxiety and depression drugs. If you're wanting to learn what your options are in those natural solutions for everyday problems, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have lots of medicinal herbs for these types of situations, plus more. So before you risk your brain cells to prescription meds and possible dementia, you might want to give them a call, see what your herbal options are. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. 229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., international number, 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless because guess what? Puts the power back in your hands. That's right. Keeps you healthy and well. Of course, get a free catalog. You'll be amazed what you can do. That's why it's called The Power Herbs. Puts the power in your hands. That's what I like about it. Okay, we got a few minutes, and I mean a few. So we're going to be talking about some female issues real quick here. Get lots of calls on reproductive issues, and people are just amazed, really, how simple it can be to balance that whole system. One of the problems a lot of females get are fibroids, especially as they get older, and fibroids tend to bleed and cause them problems. They are a concern for women, and modern medicine does not know what causes fibroids to grow in the uterus area. So they reassure women that the fibroids pretty much benign usually. A lot of people go in for, you know, procedures to limit them from bleeding. But they eventually, you know, are walked down the road to a hysterectomy. Typically, that's what happens. Fibroids are fairly common, occur in 2 out of 3 women over the age of 35, but they're not normal. They're not normal for the uterus to have fibroids. So the average age for women to develop fibroids are between the ages of 35 and 50. Women in puberty or menopause are excluded usually from developing the fibroids. So if you get to menopause and haven't had a fibroid, good for you. Good for you. So what are fibroids? Well, fibroids are little growths that grow in the uterus, and they can be made from a combination of muscle from the uterus and fibers from other connective tissues. So modern medicine describes them as non-cancerous tumors. Any fibroids that are present before menopause usually shrink after menopause, and new fibroids could develop. But most women have more than one fibroid, and they could even have hundreds of them. So fibroids can range in size from very small, like a pinpoint size, to very large, like basketball size. So fibroids, their shape is usually round or oval, and they have an appearance of an unripe peach. You ever see one of those? So there are a couple of types. Modern medicine often will give fibroids a name depending on the location and the appearance. Fibroids that, for instance, are found in the wall of the uterus are called intramural fibroids. And the fibroids that grow out from the uterine wall and into the abdominal cavity are called subserous fibroids. And if they grow in towards the uterine wall and take up space inside the uterus, then they're called submucosal fibroids. And medicine's diagnosis for fibroids, if you read a medical record, they'll say they're myoma or fibromyoma or a leiomyoma. So there's types of, you know, grades of your fibroids, and they give them different names. So what are some of the symptoms that women get? Well, women that have fibroids will have, some of them have no symptoms, and then they discover them upon, you know, maybe a pelvic exam, you know, their annual visit. But research suggests that 80% of the women do develop fibroids and have some severe symptoms. 1 in 4 will develop severe symptoms. The most common symptom is a heavy bleeding, excessive blood loss, which can lead to anemia, feeling tired. And sometimes the fibroid can put pressure on the bladder, causing discomfort and urgency or incontinence issues. And some lower back pain or pelvic pain may occur as well. So fibroids can also cause a distorted uterine cavity, creating reproductive problems. So if you're in the childbearing years, it could even lead itself to situations of miscarriage. So other symptoms can be constipation. A uterine blockage from a fibroid puts a lot of pressure on the rectum and even the bladder. So you can get some secondary symptoms there if they're large enough. So how does modern medicine treat this? They'll use scopes and prods, and they'll go in and they'll see how severe it is, and they'll determine if a hysterectomy is recommended. But you want to do your homework on hysterectomies to protect yourself, because according to a report from the Obstetrics and Gynecology Department, 9 out of every 12 hysterectomies did not meet the medical requirements or warrant the procedure. So hysterectomies vary in cost from $7,000 to $15,000, and are 12 hysterectomies are really much performed every 10 minutes in the U.S. So this means 600,000 hysterectomies every year, and about half of them are due to fibroids, and 420,000 are unnecessary. So do your homework on hysterectomies, because there's billions of reasons why medical doctors will do one when you don't need one. So there are some herbs for females. This is what I want to bring to your attention. I like to use female herbs to help tone and balance that reproductive system. There are several ways that you can use these types of herbs. You can use them internally for by mouth as a tincture, or you can even use herbal boluses and insert them into the vaginal canal to soothe that area and bring balance. So the female herbs that I like to use are Dong Quai, Mexican wild jam, Viatex berries, also known as chaste tree berries, Demania leaf, licorice root, and hops flowers. And over the years, women have said, well, you know, I've tried some of that. And I always ask them, I said, what do you mean, some of that? And they'll say, well, I tried wild jam, or I tried chaste tree, and I didn't get any results. And that's, and the reason is you have 6 female herbs, and you use all of them. You know, that's where you get where you want to be, is when you use all of them together. So if you're looking for natural solutions to these kind of problems, and we have some feedback from ladies who have used our female formulas on our website and also in our catalog. So if you get the catalog, you actually see what customers are saying about the herbal products and how it helped them. And that's a big plus. So, you know, give it a whirl and see. God's herbs are good. That's all I have to say. I can't take all the credit. I'm just kind of like the middleman. And the formulas have 60 years of testing plus, because Dr. John Christopher developed them and had a clinic for 60 years. And then when he retired, he opened a school and started teaching everything he knew. So I'm a student from his school. So these formulas aren't just, you know, kind of like grabbed out of the air. They do have testing behind them. So real live people have used them and done well. So if you're interested in the female formulas, there's a few of them. There's the balance cycle balancer. There's the female maturity for the menopause or smooth transition through menopause. And then, of course, is the fertility one if you're needing help there. But these all tone and balance the reproductive system. So check it out at thepowerherbs.com or give them a call and get a catalog, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Free catalog. You can also order the catalog online, and you can even download it if you want to download it to your computer or your tablet or whatever. So that's available as well. And if you like newsletters and you have email, do sign up for their free newsletters. There's 2 of them, the American Survival that goes out on Tuesdays and the Health Quest that goes out on Fridays, and the Health Quest will go out tomorrow. So if you want to get one of those, sign up today, and you'll get it for free. Of course, you can opt out anytime from the list. It's no big deal. But you'll get empowering natural therapies each and every week in your email, and you can help others with that information as well. So pass on the blessing, okay? ThePowerHerbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, or seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well. Oh.